This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
They want total, unlimited power over the people of the United States.
Get back! Get back now!
I challenge their authority.
No, BLM!
Fighting for Idaho.
We won.
It's not over.
We're here to make a statement. It's a free country. Remember that, government.
And we can't have an American people that violate the law and just walk away from it. So it's not over.
Fighting for you.
I think it'd be good to go down there.
We need the real story. We need it from a person that we trust and who will speak out the truth.
You know, you can't get anything from the press that's worthwhile anyway. I'd rather listen to you.
Idaho needs to hear from the Kevin Miller perspective.
Now from Southern Nevada, Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. We'll wait to talk to our great friend Dave Petso. If you're just tuning in, and it's been a while, we are here in Southern Nevada. We'll be here till Wednesday finding out what's going on at the Bundy Ranch. Now, I was outside the ranch yesterday. You can see a picture of that with me and my new best friend Isaac at 580KIDO.com. Any of these interviews that we have will be available at 580KIDO.com. And remember, our trip is sponsored by our great friends at MinutemanRx.com, who have believed in this cause and said, Kevin, all we're hearing about is the national perspective, and we need you to go there. Well, actually, I said, I'd like to go. Can you help me go there? And we flew in on Saturday, went down to Bunkerville. And those of you, and I'm sure many of you can relate to this, driving through the strip on 215 to 15 is not a fun trip. First of all, hello, Country Mouse Kevin Miller. I'm driving around, and I see all the sensory overload of the Luxor and the Bellagio and big, big, flashy, gaudy things. And then you have the crazy drivers that rival those in Salt Lake that are just crazy. You know, start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. And, gee, I can't wait to do it again today. In fact, it was interesting. I tried to go another way. And sometimes you love it when directions really hit on the head. Well, this time I went to 215 East instead of West, ended up who knows where, out by the Speedway, then got back on the highway, and I just said, you know, I've got to just drive the 8 miles of, well, of heck, if you will, if you know what I'm talking about. So that was what I went through and continue to go through here at 580KIDO, all on my way to Bunkerville. And coming up at 735, we'll have more interviews. People from around the country are here, and they're not leaving. It is amazing. Almost as amazing as our great friend Dave Petso, who joins us now at 580KIDO. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
So, Dave, we take a look at the markets. It's time for the annual week in review. What happened? And then we'll find out from you, Nostra Petso, what will happen. But tell us a little bit about the markets last week.
Well, last week, you know, I think it's amazing when you think about how big a deal potentially Russia, Ukraine, and certainly these things most of the time in the past would be sending the market down. This is a pretty strong army just deciding that the border does not exist, that the rule of law does not exist. And so basically we have a czar-type situation again, but with nuclear weapons and a gigantic military involved. And so the market basically, you know, has a little bit of pressure, but that's it. The market was flat for the week. It's astounding to me how much money is flowing into the markets. And when you look at on top of that and find what one-third of the companies, nearly one-third of the companies in the S&P 500 reported last week. Earnings generally were pretty good, but some of them were blockbuster. Apple returning billions, tens of billions of dollars to shareholders. You know, this is good for the economy. It's not just this abstract Wall Street thing out that sits out there. These are real dividends, real stock buybacks, real money in investors' pockets. Works its way through the economy. So the market, I thought, was very, very, has been very, very impressive lately in light of what's going on in Russia and what's going on with China slowing down a little bit, the Japanese situation. It's just this battle between where else am I going to put money and some of these very real problems out there.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller here in Southern Nevada. Dave Petso with us at the Broadcast Center. What would happen if the Fed decided to curtail more of its pumping into the economy? How big would that – could that derail the market?
You know, people have been talking about that for quite some time, Kevin, and you know I feel like the answer is no. I think that the Fed has helped the stock market. Nobody knows by how much. But it's always being factored in, if you will. As people are debating whether they want to invest in stocks or they're going to hold cash. So the debate goes on all the time with different asset classes. Is it worth buying in? And that debate, given the time that we've had, has gone on now for, what, 2 years? As soon as the Fed cuts back, that's it. We're going to tank. And, of course, we all know there's, you know, hundreds of websites out there talking about the impending doom of either the dollar or the stock market in general when the Federal Reserve pulls away, that this is all going to end badly. All of them, of course, are there to do one thing, and that is to sell gold. But it doesn't stop people from reading them, fussing about them, and retweeting them, if you will, all over the world. So people get this idea that there's just a whole body of knowledge out there that the market's going to tank. Some people feel that way, Kevin, but I think it's gone on for 2 years, and we have already started the tapering process. It started last year. The words out of the Fed chairman's mouth, at that time Bernanke said, we are going to drop, you know, we're going to stop tapering sometime when the markets dictate it. Well, they have. And at first, the market took about a two-day hiccup, and then it only went up 30% last year. So that's how scared the market is, I think, of tapering. It continues on schedule, and there will come a time down the road where the Fed is completely gone, not just lessening its impact. And I look forward to that day, Kevin. I think interest rates are going to be a little bit higher when that happens, but that will also signify a stronger economy.
Dave Pezzo with us here at 580KIDO, coming up much more from Southern Nevada. But, Dave, you know, are we ever going to pay back that money that we're just printing up? You know, I'm talking to a lot of folks here, and they cite the Fed. They also cite the idea that we're just making up money. You mm-hmm. as a financial guy, I mean, are we ever going – is the government really ever going to pay that back? Could they possibly pay that back?
Yeah, it's a fascinating question. How does that work its way out, you know, out of the system? It's so much money. The answer is they're really going to pay it back by simply letting the bonds run off. What they've done is, yes, they've printed money, and they've used that to go buy bonds. The bonds pay interest and principal over the years. Most people think, and I think the Fed has indicated this as well, that they are just simply going to let the bonds run off. That means they're not necessarily going to sell them all back that they bought, you know, all at one time, flooding the system and making interest rates spike to the moon. It's just a process of, no, we're not going to do anything with them. We'll just let them sit there. We'll collect the coupon. We'll collect the principal as they pay off and just put it back in the Treasury. That's all. So that's the way that I believe it's going to happen. If they see an opportunity in a market where they want to have maybe interest rates tick up a little bit higher or unload some bonds, I'm sure that they'll sell a few hundred billion if they deem it necessary or desirous at the time.
Dave Pezzo with us, Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. Okay, who would buy a billion or 100 billion here or there? Because – you know, treasuries don't give you that ROI like they did when you and I were growing up, when our grandmothers would buy treasury bonds for us. I mean, who would buy it? Certainly not the Chinese. They have their own economic woes, right?
Well, they do, but they still have the world currency is the U.S. dollar, and so it's being bought. Treasuries are bought for reserve requirements all over the world, all the time. You know, the Federal Reserve, people talk about who's buying all those bonds, Kevin, and who would buy all of ours. The answer is before the Federal Reserve stepped in and with QE 1, 2, 3, or 4, however number we're on now, and even in spite of QE, there's plenty of buyers out there. The real question is, you know, the insurance companies, there's all kinds of reasons that treasuries are bought. They have a specific period of time, and even though their rates are very, very low today, there still are buyers out there. Now, what we're really saying is what happens to interest rates when the elephant buyer, the federal government, leaves the room? Not all buyers, because they're not the only buyer. So I think, again, it'll be fine. It's an interesting question. Where would interest rates be if, in fact, the Federal Reserve wasn't involved at all? most people think they'd be around 3, maybe a little bit higher, but that's all. That's nothing, you know, nothing earth-shattering about 3%. But we don't know because we didn't take that road, right? I mean, it's, people are always speculating. I love the certainty of a blog, right, Kevin? The certainty of we didn't go this way, but I know what would have happened. And that is the certainty of if the Federal Reserve never been there, where interest rates would be, where the economy would be, et cetera. We just really don't know because we didn't take that road. So everything is speculation, but so far we have tapered our way to where the Federal Reserve is much less involved in the buying and will become much less involved, and interest rates are still at 2.67. That's pretty low. So far, so good.
Dave Petzl with us here at 580KIDO. Final question of this segment here, and this comes from USA Today. For people listening right now, you have a couple ways of people can improve their retirement readiness. Recently now, some 6 in 10 baby boomers and Generation Xers are projected to have sufficient financial resources to live the life they're living now. That's the good news. The bad news, 4 out of 10 or 40% do not have the means. So for those listening right now, what are a couple quick ways to improve that retirement readiness?
Well, Kevin, everybody makes choices every day, and I know this is, you know, somebody's looking, you know, most of the time people are looking for a pill so they can lose 50 pounds. They're looking and not have to leave the couch. You know, we're all looking for an easy, oh yeah, painless thing. And I do think it's painless. We just simply have to grow up. Everybody makes choices every day. You make the choice of what your lifestyle is. You decide right now what I want to do is go to dinner more than I want to have financial security. I want to go to dinner more tonight than to fund the Roth IRAs. I want to go to dinner more than to pay for a kid's college education or help a grandchild through college. That's what I want more. I want my instant gratification more right now, my drug of now, than it is than to set it up. And what I'm saying is you break that dynamic. And it really, when I say it's empowering, it's freeing. It is. It being under the bounds of spending too much money, and not having any financial security is a tremendous stress and pressure in people's lives. It's not binding to get it right. It's freeing to get it right. And people really do need to do that. And there's two aspects to it. It's not just saving money that's important. It's also the fact that their lifestyle is going down. So the pile of money that is required to fund that lifestyle isn't as large. So it's twofold. When people learn to live well within their means, it's a lot easier to get towards retirement. And, you know, there's all kinds of data out there that people can look at. But the fact of the matter is they have to make that choice personally. You know what you need to do, people. Doggone it. We all do, right? We all know what's right. We all know how to do this correctly. We just have to make the decision to roll out of bed and do that.
More coming up with Dave Petzl.
Your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. Up all night. Up all night.
Kevin Miller in the morning from Southern Nevada, brought to you by our friends MinutemanRx.com. And do want to remind everybody that, folks, we need you now more than ever. This is not some type of stunt or what have you, because we're here in Nevada talking to the folks that are camping out and breaking no laws, by the way, breaking no laws. And we'll have much more of that coming up. Also want to thank our sponsor, MinutemanRx.com, who so graciously put up the money to allow me to come here. I'm very honest with you about that. This is a team effort, and we do want to thank the folks there. I made one call, and they said, "Ah, go ahead, K. Millie, bring us the truth," and that's what we're doing. Speaking of the truth, we're talking money with our great friend Dave Petzl. Dave, are the credit card? You know, I remember the old days when every time we'd have you in, it was, and you'd go, Kevin Miller, blah, 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 blah. It was always bad news. So we have some good news, but some of the things that impact average Americans, average Idahoans each and every day are credit cards. Have the credit card companies continued to behave, or are they back to their old ways of, hey, everybody, here's 0% and you never have to pay ever? Oh, that goes to 25% in 2 days.
There's still a little bit of that, Kevin. There is, but it's the credit card companies. It's highly competitive. credit card companies require a decent credit rating, meaning people that pay their bills. And so it is a it's a much cleaner area than something like the payday loans, which, of course, as you well know, it's have never been good, but Idaho's the worst at. It's got 580% per year, 580% interest. And I don't know if the mafia charges that much. You know, I don't know what it is, but I find that phenomenal. And we talk about some of the basics of getting ahead in life. I mean, this is so basic that you don't go in and borrow against a future paycheck that I don't even know where to start with somebody that does that. But I just do feel I do feel compelled also to protect people against that kind of thing as well. And I think that that is such a usury rate that we really shouldn't be the highest in the nation. We really shouldn't be.
And yet we are. And for people that, again, are dealing with credit cards and everything else, I would urge you to go to your financial institution. I would urge you to go to a credit union. And if you are paying and everything else and your credit rating's good, you can get that 17% lowered to 8 or 5 or even 3%.
Or even better, Kevin, stay off the credit cards. It means you're buying things you can't afford because you're not willing to wait. And when you start doing that, it opens up a door that takes a lot of work to close. And it's just too easy to pull the card out and go into that cycle that says, no, I'm just going to have whatever I want whenever I want it. And we also know from human history, it doesn't matter whether it's cupcakes or women or money or whatever, when we just simply won't wait for anything or we just have what we want whenever we want it, it's really not good for ourselves.
Dave Petzo with us as we continue on here at 580 KIDO. You know, on one hand, Apple is losing its competitive edge and everybody has their iPhones and the Samsung this. Jim from Star showing me his big Samsung this and looks more like a tablet than a phone. But Apple had a good first quarter. They exceeded expectations. They're going to do some type of return, I think. But could this be the exception rather than the rule when we're talking about, let's face it, America's technology company?
Well, you know, first of all, Apple was thought to be falling behind Samsung so far in the cell phone wars. This was a huge turnaround. We'll see where we go from here, whether the iPhone 6 is a home run or not. But Apple's making great inroads into China where they weren't supposed to be making good inroads, and their phones are just too expensive. And, you know, the list goes on and on as to why Apple was losing its way. And there is no question that they are not the same company, but I don't know how a company can be the same company, not just because Steve Jobs is gone, but you come out with something world-changing the way the iPhone did with the technology and ease of use, and even more importantly, people forget about its operating system is so clean and virus-free that everybody wants it. They want to be part of that whole thing, and they control it, and they make money every time, every second of every day with that system and their app store and so on. So all of those things tied together is this incredible monolith. Now, we're supposed to top that all the time. It's the way we are. And when they don't, then we assume the company is dead and rudderless, leaderless, whatever you want to say. So now we're looking at this report and saying, wait a minute, this was quite a big comeback. A huge comeback for the company, and they didn't even announce a new product. So imagine if they really do come out with an iPhone 6 big screener that is functionally better or as good as anything that Samsung has, then I think you're talking about the category killer again.
Dave Petzo, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Do you think if you've held off on buying a home, do you think this is the year to buy a home in the Treasure Valley?
I think it is because interest rates are good. I think it's more as you look at it, if people will in fact set their sights down a little bit, okay? Don't just get in on we could afford a little bit bigger payment with a minimum down payment. If people are being conservative in their thought process, then absolutely lock it in. Get those 15 and 30 year mortgages going at these rates, and I think you're going to be very, very happy you did. And because right now, if you are relatively conservative in your aspirations for housing, meaning, you know, I guess you just don't need a, you know, several thousand square feet per person in a household. If you feel that way, or you don't need 3-inch deep granite or whatever it is, I know it's all nice, but if you can tone it down just a little bit, be relatively conservative, you will be living in that house for as little as you can rent. Now, that tells me it's a really good buying environment, Kevin. I'm not making a housing price prediction, because houses are money pits, Kevin. They are. It's just where we live. And then we spend a gob of money. I still am completely puzzled. I really am very baffled why people talk about houses as investments. They're just money pits. They're tax items. They're the way that all the revenue is raised locally, and they slip a little levy in here and a levy in there, until in Boise, everywhere, even with the housing exemption, the homeowner's exemption, we are all overpaying well over 1% on our homes. It's absolutely ludicrous, and there is no end. There is no end to government. It doesn't matter if it's conservative government or liberal government. They just can't have enough money. There's no such thing as too much money for government in their mind. And so this is an easy way to keep taxing. So no, it's not. And the more conservative your house, the less money you spend, the more you relieve the pressure of finances in your life. And yes, Kevin, buy a house. Interest rates are good. It's very affordable.
Now, that's the Dave Petzo that we listen to every Saturday. We will see you this Saturday, Dave. Thank you.
Kevin, thank you. You have a great time down there. Be safe.
Thank you. It's our great friend, Dave Petzo. You can catch him at the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men.
And good morning, everybody. Kevin Miller here once again in our remote broadcast center in Las Vegas, getting ready once again to go down to Bunkerville and cover the Bundy situation. Of course, everybody yapping about the Donald Sterling situation and what happens, of course, whatever happened to the First Amendment. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good to have you with us again, as always. Another busy day at the broadcast center. And a busy day today. Coming up, we'll be talking to, we'll have a two-part interview, part one of our interview with Clive and Bundy. And we'll also talk to his son, Ammon Bundy, who was tased 4 times and has lived to tell about it.
Well, you know, it's fascinating as, you know, I think about the fact of you are now down in Nevada. That story, you know, has gone from the front pages, along with a lot of other stories that just have gone from the front pages, but yet very real down there. The other thing I was thinking about in your case, life continues on for the Bundys on their ranch, that they have, you know, melons to prepare. They've got cattle that they're, you know, moving and working. While, you know, sometimes news stories happen, life does continue on.
Yeah, and I do believe that this situation here will heat up again, unfortunately. Yesterday, a local congressman, has urged the local sheriff, I believe in Clark County, to get rid of the militia, because allegedly you have people complaining that at schools, at stores, the militia folks are running around with their guns menacing people. So
menacing, huh?
I know. I look to the story to start percolating again if the sheriff follows up with the congressman's request that the militia be removed from the area. And again, that's kind of a local story here. I don't even think the TV stations have picked it up yet. Something that is percolating. Also, the Bundys are issuing a press conference today about something, and I have something else for you.
You do? I'm ready.
Well, I thought we would talk a little bit about the sheriff and the militia first.
Okay.
Instead of giving you everything right now. So you take a look at this, and you know, one could say these guys aren't breaking laws. They're really isolated. And it's funny, if you would just listen to the reports, you would go, wow, they're running around town. They're raiding the Albertsons. But in reality, and you'll hear from a few of these folks today and many more tomorrow, they're out in the middle of nowhere, right off outside the Bundy Ranch. And they're in these like camping-like communities. The difference is they, you know, have a bunch of weapons.
And that's what has people upset.
Well,
or does it really have? Does it have the community upset, or one congressman?
And that's what I would argue. I drove around Mesquite yesterday. I spent a lot of time here and got back about 8 o'clock last night. And I didn't see, I've gone to every campsite or every what post you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, you know, again, these guys are fairly isolated. So when I heard that report, it did kind of shock me, but it will play into the national narrative of these guys are running around with guns. And, you know, Davis, you know, I always wanted to be Chuck Norris, and I am what I am, and that's more like an Inspector Clouseau at 580 KIDO. But this terrain here is not good if any shooting would start to happen. And no, and I'm saying this, that neither side wants that, I believe, but you've got to use, you know, the John Kerry-like diplomacy that he exhibited yesterday. Well, maybe not, but to make sure that these things don't happen. These people have come from all over the country. They feel very passionate about Mr. Bundy. They're ready to defend him, and it's interesting, like you said, the national show has gone on, but I think there's going to be some more attention coming out of here very soon.
Well, I find it interesting as you talk about the militia. Kimberly Cruzy, who is a writer for the Magic Valley News down in Twin Falls, has a big article in the Twin Falls newspaper about the militia preparing for catastrophe up in the Cuna area. I didn't see it covered in our local media, but the Twin Falls paper has a big story on it, talking about Idaho's Lightfoot militia members.
Well, and, you know, we've had Craig on, we've had Jack Stewart on, we had Terry on from State College, Pennsylvania. There's a lot of people that are doing it, and I'm sure her article focused in on disaster relief and what would happen if something bad happened. And again, you have, and I'll tell you about our own Lightfoot militia, and we had the head of it on last Friday night.
Yep.
You know, they're really trying to, you know, get rid of that stigma with the militia, you know, all Idaho this, and they really want to help. That's what they've told us.
Well, I think that is initially what it's designed for. The word militia is, for some people, a very scary word. Again, I wasn't following your advice. I was talking to people in the building here, which is always a dangerous thing to do. But as they talk about militia, you would think that they were, you know, that they were using some sort of an evil, clandestine sort of a group when they, you know, use the word militia.
Yeah, well, they're dopes in the building.
Good point.
You know, and you haven't written them off, I have, but, you know, getting back to the militia, and I'm sure everybody will be doing a story on the young lady story from the Magic Valley Times there, now that she did that on the militia. However, at 580KIDO, do you have a right in America today, if you want to go out with your M16 or your AR-15 or your Glock or your 357 and camp, and you're not bothering anybody, don't you have a right to do that?
If you don't have a concealed permit, but you're carrying it openly, I mean, that's the rule. You need to carry openly. I would say so. I would have to look at certain campground rules. There are some campgrounds I know that they do not want firearms, and it's posted. I think you have to follow the rules and what you're doing. But if you're just out, you know, when I go, let's put it this way, when I go hunting, I carry a sidearm with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't hunt with it, but I carry it just for protection in case something bad tries to eat me. I have that on me at all times.
Yes.
So, you know, and amazingly, it hasn't jumped out of the holster and got anyone. Hasn't robbed any stores.
Well, let me give you this. Here's a little bit more on this story here at 580K Audio. By the way, again, we will have Clive and Bundy coming up at 6:05. And I'll be writing about what it was like to be at the Bundy Ranch yesterday in his living room yesterday. A very unique experience that you'll get only here at 580KIDO. And again, we'll cover Donald Sterling and the like. But a freshman Nevada congressman said the militiamen need to leave the area around Clive and Bundy's ranch because they're scaring kids trying to walk to school. This is Steve Horsford, who represents the recently created 4th District, told MSNBC that he spent Thursday in Mesquite meeting with residents who actually live in Bunkerville, who are neighbors of Clive and Bundy, who live in the Valley community. Basically, there are about 12 to 1,300 people here. They cannot walk around the corner to their school without armed militia on the hills of our community. They can't go to church on Sunday without armed militia being in and around the church. because Clive and Bundy is there and the armed militia are there. Mr. Bundy's comments do not reflect our community. They don't reflect the majority of the Nevadans or the Western way of life. The way most of us feel, they are racist. His comments were racist. By the way, Mr. Bundy does address those comments coming up, either part one or part two of our interview today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, now, and this is something, and you and I can talk about this. By the way, our thoughts and prayers go out to people in the southeastern part of the country today. Massive tornadoes last night. I was watching the Weather Channel, and it just, poof, crazy
yeah,
stuff.
Two nights in a row.
Yeah, but getting back to Mr. Bundy and getting back to this issue, I mean, okay, if you say something and it's taken out of context or it isn't and you apologize for it, are you forever damned because you said something? I mean, can anybody accept an apology anymore?
It doesn't appear so. It does not appear so. At least for certain groups that there is no apology accepted.
Right, but I always thought that forgiveness is in the heart. We forgave Bill Clinton. We've forgiven a lot of folks. And, you know, this Donald Sterling thing. Okay, he's a gentleman who's in his 80s. He's had a long history of discrimination. And, I'm hearing everybody feeling sad for the players, the people on ESPN. And I'm thinking, they took his money. And then they're going, well, they should do something. And I wouldn't blame them if they didn't. Okay, if someone calls you a name, but you're getting $2 million, $3 million, or $20 million, do you really care?
Well, I think there is an issue. I think there is a point to be made. But as I look at this, this is no surprise. This guy is the worst-kept racist secret in the NBA. He's been nailed with charges before in 2006 and I think 2003. It's not something new that just jumped out of nowhere, but all of a sudden we're made to believe it is something new that's jumped out of nowhere as everyone is all over this. Is what he said stupid? Yeah, it's pretty dumb. But nobody looks, as I've been reading online several things, nobody looks at the morality issue of what's going on with his relationship with these women, with his ex and with these women. Nobody looks at that. But they look at the morality of what he's saying.
Yeah, but back to the point. Oh, the players, they've got to work for this man. And I'm going, well, you came here for free agency. You knew what kind of guy he was. And really, we all work with unpleasant people. We all do these things. And, I'm sitting there, well, listening to these comments again and again. And I think the media is perpetuating this story and not solving the issues. They're condemning him. Now they're talking about taking his team. Let's go back to the First Amendment here at 580KIDO. The guy didn't say this, which is, and it's funny because all these wannabe commentators, I don't care if it was illegally recorded. I don't care if people did it. People can't say that. And I'm going, well, people say this stuff all the time. People say this in their homes. Now, not to the extent that they did many years ago, and that's progress in America. But isn't there something to be said? I mean, you have people making fun of Christians. You have people making fun of people because of their race. And that's protected speech. It's Larry Flint. It's the hustler going to the Supreme Court. That was celebrated by the left. I don't understand it. I really don't.
Well, it's a point that people are trying to make. I think it was Jesse Jackson, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, say he was... making it akin to these NBA players are like cotton pickers.
Yeah.
I don't believe a cotton picker's ever made millions of dollars picking cotton.
Well, that and here's what's scary to me. And Michael Wilbon related to this, and I was watching NBA TV, and there was a guy on. He goes, look, I don't want to give anybody ideas, but look, we might go Rodney King. They might go Rodney King. And I'm going... You better be careful, because now it's getting out of control.
Yeah.
And people are threatening to do violence. Michael Wilbon yesterday, there are three places that you don't insult the black community, New York, Chicago, or Los Angeles. And Kornheiser goes, you don't do that anywhere. And now he goes, well, no, because they can organize. You could have some type of organized protest at the Clippers game tonight, and I'm going, okay, let's put it in perspective. He's an 80-year-old man with a ton of money who's had a horrible history. He's philandering with these women, and you're going to let his comments, that who knows if they were taken legally or not, influence you enough to get arrested, to cause property damage? Now who's acting stupid? And what happens if something insightful happens? Do they blame Mr. Jackson or Mr. Sharpton? Or do they blame Donald Sterling for talking to his chick?
Well, they'll blame Donald Sterling, and yeah, it will all be put on him. And it is a bad area of L.A. that, you get down in there, that riots have taken place before, and things could be incited. It'll be interesting to watch as we go into Tuesday night and the game tonight.
Right. And quickly, though, Rodney King, okay? That was horrible. Reginald Denny, who tried to save him, and he got beat up. Nobody remembers him. Okay, that doesn't justify a riot, but you can see that. But over Donald Sterling's comments?
Yeah. Well, I just go back that they ran Marge Schott for running her mouth. They'll run him as well.
Well, that's he likes to go to court, so we'll see.
Yeah. We got to do this, Kevin. Got to take a look at your traffic now as you're coming out.
Good morning. Thank you for starting your day with us. Kevin Miller with you as we roll along, getting ready to hear from Clive and Bundy. Is it over? Remember, you've heard about him. You'll hear from him in our exclusive part one of our two-part interview. We'll have part two tomorrow. And coming up, he has a message for Idaho. That's with me, Kevin Miller. Stay with us.
Serving Meridian.